Good morning, HOCO. I am Anna Broadbent. I am your summer seminarian, and if I haven't had the pleasure to meet you, please introduce yourself after the service. I'd love to get to know you, especially with your name tags on. It's very helpful. I just finished my second year of education up at Virginia Theological Seminary, not too far, and so grateful to serve alongside you this summer. So thank you for welcoming me. A few years ago, while I was still in the discernment process for the priesthood, I was sitting alongside my sponsoring priest as she was writing a sermon. And I looked at her and I said, "How do you know what to say each week?" And she said, "The Holy Spirit tells me." And I said, "Well, why are you crossing so much out?" So whoever said Episcopalians don't laugh clearly has got it wrong. And from what I can tell here at HOCO, you guys laugh a lot. I just spent 2 days with your vestry, and we laughed a lot. You guys are in good hands. And so in that spirit of laughter, I'm going to give you a Hebrew lesson today. Now don't worry, there's no test, and it's not going to be too hard. So today, the main word in our Old Testament that stood out to me is the word to laugh. So I'm going to teach you that word to laugh in Hebrew. So get ready. So this word is tzahak. Tzahak, yes. And so remember, Hebrew is read from right to left and not left to right like English. So this is our first letter and down that way. So this first letter is a tzadeh, and it has kind of a S or a TS or a Z sound, like a tz, tz. Good job, yes. The next one is a chet, and it's that guttural CH, that ch, ch. And don't worry, the people in front of you, they don't care if you get a little stuff on them. And then the last letter is a kof, and that's just a k sound. And there's some vowels in there, but that's for our advanced lesson, which will be after the service. But so if you would say that with me together, tzahak, tzahak, oh my gosh, you guys are brilliant. You are all Hebrew scholars, so you can impress your friends later. So tzahak, this word, permeated our Old Testament reading. But I also think it's important to our relationship with God. It's important to how we follow Christ. So to be able to really get a good understanding of how important this word is, I'm actually going to back us up a little bit from our Old Testament reading today. So in chapter 12 of Genesis, God makes three promises to Abraham. God says Abraham will have many descendants and he will make a great nation. He says that they will inherit the land of Canaan. And lastly, that they will be a blessing to the whole world. So it's pretty hard to do this if you don't have children. And so Abraham and Sarah develop a plan, and that includes giving Sarah's handmaid, Hagar, to Abraham as a concubine, and together they have a child named Ishmael. But in the 17th chapter of Genesis, God gets a little specific with Abraham, and he says, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come to her." Then Abraham fell on his face, and chazak, right? He laughed. And he says, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And can Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child?" So often in this story, I think we focus on Sarah's laugh, but let's not forget that Abraham laughed as well. In fact, he laughed first. So we kind of have his and hers annunciation stories going on here in Genesis. So let's look at Sarah's annunciation story, which is what we read in the Old Testament today. So there's two things that are really similar between these stories. One is the promise that Sarah will bear a child. And two, tzahak, laughter. In fact, Sarah not only laughed, but she denied her laughter. And I don't blame her for laughing. She's 90, Abraham's 100, and she's sitting there eavesdropping outside the tent, and she hears in a year from now, she'll have a child. And in her laughter, she says, "Now that I am so old, and my husband's even older, is pleasure to come my way again?" Then, as the story goes on, we as the readers find out that it is Yahweh talking to Abraham. And God says, "Why does Sarah laugh? Will I really deliver a child at my age?" And somehow in this response, Abraham's age gets left out. Typical. But God says, "Is anything too extraordinary for God to do? Is there anything too wondrous for God?" Then God, I'm sure, adorned with a twinkle in the eye, says, "Oh, but you did indeed laugh." So we're going to fast forward to Isaac's birth. And I imagine the sweet laughter of joy that escapes Sarah's lips when she realizes that nothing is too wondrous for God. And she says, "God has brought laughter for me, and everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she names her son, ready for lesson two? Yitzhak. Yitzhak. And I don't know, hopefully you remember from the previous lesson, that was 3 minutes ago, that the root of Yitzhak is tzahak, is to laugh. Isaac is literally laughter. And so in Sarah's story, I see two types of laughter. First, I see the laughter of pure joy. The laughter that Sarah and Abraham offer at the root of their son's name. This is laughter that brings unity with one another, brings us closer in our relationship with God and each other. But then there's laughter that escapes us in the mode of disbelief. It's laughter that expresses doubt in God's wonders and abilities. A laughter that questions how God can work in us and through us. And it's just like Sarah's initial laughter at God's plans for her. And we not only experience this type of laughter in our relationship with God, but also with other people. I think this is the kind of laughter that is directed at somebody. It's laughter that is extremely hurtful and divisive. It's the type of laughter that leads to horrific events, like the shooting up in Alexandria earlier this week. This laughter does not honor God, and it certainly does not honor the creation that reflects God's image. So I can't help but wonder if there was a little tzahaking going on when Jesus sent out his disciples, as we heard in the gospel. And he commands them to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. And I wonder if this laughter didn't just come from within themselves, but perhaps within the community around them. You know, Jesus' disciples were not the all-star crew. We've got Peter, who we know denied Jesus 3 times. We end with Judas, who betrayed Jesus. In the middle, we have a winner like Matthew, who was a tax collector for the Romans. This is a ragtag crew. And I can almost hear the giggles of discomfort that come from their beings and their dumbfound faces and the snickers from the community around them as Jesus gives them this commandment to go. And I almost wonder if one of them said, "But Rabbi." And Jesus, raising an eyebrow, says, "Is anything too wonderful for our Lord?" So in complete faith, the disciples step out and they follow Jesus' command, and they fulfill it. They do, in fact, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And I wonder at the end of the day if a small exhale of laughter escaped their souls when they acknowledged there is nothing too wonderful for God. So what kind of tzahak are we carrying and releasing into this world? Do we laugh with Sarah in her disbelief? Or do we laugh that sweet, joyful laughter in God's promises? When we feel God nudging us into an area of discomfort or challenge, do we chuckle with the questions and the disbelief? Or do we rest into the faith that our God can do wondrous things with us, even if we think we're too old, too young, too whatever? Do we carry a sense of humor that brings people together and honors God? I'm the first to admit that living in this kind of faith is extremely difficult. When I first recognized that God was calling me to the priesthood, laughter thick with disbelief came extremely fast. And unfortunately, some people in my life shared that laughter, saying, "Yeah, right, God's calling you to be a priest." Thankfully, that laughter was offset by the sweet sound of my sponsoring priest, the same woman from the beginning of this story, who shared a strong belly laugh of confidence, said, "It's about time you follow God." So as I'm getting to know this beautiful community of Holy Comforter, I wonder what areas God is calling us to tzahak with confidence in. How are we called to bring people together in laughter in this extremely divisive climate? And just like your giant red doors on the parish house that everyone goes into, even though this is your address, in true God-honoring laughter and joy, there are no divisions. And just like those red doors, everyone is welcome in this kind of laughter. So my new friends, may we continue to laugh with one another. May we let our laughter ring out in this city as a signal that we know, believe, and act as if there is nothing too wondrous for our God.